I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H-Town. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day, great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Let's do it.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Monday to you. Hope you had a great weekend. I had a great weekend. We all had a great weekend if you are an Astros fan. And I would say we all had a great weekend if you were a fan of the starting offense for the Houston Texans on Saturday. Those were the two big things we needed this weekend. Three big things we needed. Joy, a nice drive from the first string offense, at least Saturday's first string. And I'll take two out of three from the Yankees, especially when the Sunday game is a stark reminder that we and Jose Altuve are their daddies. Good morning, Seth. How are you?
Good morning. Yeah, and I'm. It's interesting when you have to clarify. Hey, Saturday's starting offense, because it wasn't your starting quarterback. It was a two or three of your non-starting offensive linemen. It wasn't your starting running back, and yet the process in that first drive by the Saturday starters was just so much better than what we saw in the preseason last year, particularly on the offensive line. So I saw a lot of promising things out of the offensive line that are almost player independent, because Blake Fisher didn't play well, and yet at the same time there were some he didn't play well in a better manner in which he didn't play well last year. I could you know what, it was different, Sean. I could break down and watch the film and say, oh, okay, this guy's just getting beat, whereas last year I would watch the offensive line and say, I don't know what the hell any of these guys are doing. Your guess is as good as mine as to what they're supposed to be doing and who's at fault here and all that. I think we saw some really good things just in terms of having a crisp and concise and just a sharper offense in general. And it's one series versus a bunch of backups and a smattering of starters with the Vikings, but it's a better operation. It's a cleaner operation right now.
Definitely a cleaner operation. Definitely an operation that looks like the coaches know what they're doing. And look, if they're, I get it, they're going against twos for the Vikings. So this is nothing that we're taking and changing the season win total on the Texans over this or anything like that. But if they're going to go out there and do something against the twos from another team, I would like my twos to go on a 10-play, 74-yard drive where it's five runs, five passes, really no negative play. The only negative play on the whole drive was Davis Mills missed a wide-open Cade Stover. It probably should have only been like an 8 or 9 play drive, because they should have had a touchdown on that play. Other than that, everything looked great.
And even on that, Sean, even on that one too, there's some room, because CJ had a little bit of a misfire, what looked like a misfire with Dalton Schultz in the scrimmage on Thursday. Yeah. And I think I'm not making excuses or anything. I think they are still learning this offense and some of the nuances of how they're going to run their routes versus different looks. I think there's probably still a little bit of a disconnect there. So I'm hesitant right there to blame either Stover or
Mills.
Davis.
Yeah.
But I think the fact that guys are getting schemed open and sprung open, and that a lot of it is because of play action and some of the things they're doing on the offensive line. That's the promising part at this stage. I think they got to refine everything, sure.
What did D'Amico Ryans think of that first drive by the offense on Saturday? By the way, they lost the game 20-10, but honestly, that first drive was the only thing I needed on Saturday night. I'm like, offensive operation with guys that are going to be on the team this year looks good. I'll gladly sit and watch the rest of it here, but that's what I need. Here's D'Amico Ryans on that first drive.
For the game today, I was really pleased with our first offensive group, the way they stepped out, very efficient. I liked everybody just being calm and composed. Davis did an excellent job of driving the ball down the field, commanding the huddle, putting the ball in really good placement. Then to see Dare have a couple nice runs there, playing behind his pass, and it was a really nice finish to the drive with Berrios. Like him not only catching and securing the football, but finishing physically through the end zone.
Okay, I think a couple things here that I think Texan fans need to know who haven't been at camp, and certainly we were two of just a few people who were in West Virginia. That's been Davis pretty much all camp, except for one bad practice where he threw a couple of picks. Davis Mills has looked really, really good. Granted, going against twos, but he's looked really, really good. If Dare Ogunbowale is getting 15 to 20 touches a game, something's gone horribly wrong with these injuries in the running back room. And yet, it was nice to see them just be able to plug Dare Ogunbowale in, and he gets 29 yards on 5 carries, and it wasn't like he got 21 of those 29 yards on one carry and the rest got stuffed at the line. I would say, just going back and looking, like all 5 carries had really positive things from the offensive line going there.
And there were times, too, as well as Ogunbowale played, there were times where I'm watching it and I'm thinking, okay, what would Mixon do in this situation? Yeah. Some of those runs could have been a lot higher.
Just sure.
Obviously, Mixon's a better running back than Ogunbowale.
Yeah.
But just in the quickness of some of the reads and then the explosiveness after you make the read, those Ogunbowale 5, 6, 7 yard runs really could have been 15, 20 yard runs by Joe Mixon.
Yep.
So that was promising.
Here was D'Amico Ryans on the job the offensive line did on Saturday.
And from my point of view, our O-line did a really nice job of controlling the line of scrimmage, which when we did run the football, there was no one in the backfield. There was no penetration, and it all starts up front. So I feel like those guys did a really nice job of setting the tone. And that's what we want to see from the offensive line. You come out, be physical, set the tone for the offense. And I thought that first group did a nice job of that.
And part of that is, I think, just the type of run scheme that they're going to use last year is going to be probably a stark departure from what Bobby Sloak was doing. And without getting overly technical about it, the Texans are going to lean into double teams and plays like duo, etc., compared to as much zone blocking. And what that does, for me, I've always felt like it simplifies things for the offensive line. And remember what was tough for the Texans' offensive line last year? It was whenever defensive linemen were slanting, they would just lose track of guys. There'd be deep penetration in the backfield. There were some really good moments of slanting defensive linemen by the Minnesota Vikings where the guys just, they got washed and it helped create a bigger hole. Ursary, the rookie, did that a couple of times, handled slanting defensive ends really, really well. And that was really from the get-go last year. It was one of the biggest problems on that offensive line. So they seem to have hemmed that up a bit.
Yep.
There's a part of coaching offensive line, I guess coaching in the NFL in particular, it's always a balance of like, okay, you gotta find a way to make the high Wunderlich guys play a little dumber, and you gotta have the low Wunderlich guys play a little smarter.
Yeah.
So for the offensive linemen, bunch of analytical nerds, and they'll try to solve any algebra problem you give them. But the problem is, it's like trying to solve an algebra problem while wrestling a grizzly bear, and you gotta find that balance where you can just get them still being smart offensive linemen, but still playing aggressively and physically. And so far, just from what I saw in training camp, the last couple days of padded practices, and then in the preseason game, I think Popovich is doing a pretty good job of that. This feels like a much more caveman-like offensive line. And I like some cavemen. You know, intellectual,
sure,
cavemen.
Sure,
but,
yeah.
But cavemen nonetheless.
Cavemen that you know their next of kin are going to really continue that evolution to, you know, being able to speak and eat with utensils and things like
right,
that.
Right, yeah, right, yeah.
That's I think that's where this O-line is. Advanced cavemen, yes.
Open a door in your Flintstones vehicle right. for your girlfriend instead of maybe, you know, the way they used to be portrayed in cartoons.
Right, right.
Instead of flashback to the stuff like, wow.
Yeah, these were very misogynistic cartoons, and I enjoyed these, yes.
Cartoons really did a number on our generation.
They did. We're coming out of it now. Okay, I know this is what I know people want to hear from you. Because I think they saw the reaction on social media to it. I think they saw it with their own eyes. You had a really good YouTube about the offensive line in general in that first drive, if you want to go find it on Seth's YouTube channel. But I think people are very curious what your thoughts were on the debut of Arianti Urcery.
I think he's got the potential to be really, really good. And some of that was in the run game, where I said there were a couple times where the defensive end slanted inside and Urcery had to redirect and handled it really, really well. That was notable because that was one of the knocks against him in college, was that sometimes he didn't redirect well when guys slanted to the inside. And he's got those long arms and he uses them really well. When I talked to Daniil Hunter last week, that was one of the points he made about him, is that he's a technique guy. Mm-hmm. And that might sound like a simple thing, but some offensive linemen, especially bigger dudes, they've gotten away in college with just kind of bullying people, and they're not as focused in on their technique. Ursary's really honed in on his technique by rookie standards.
Do you have a gut feel on what you would, if you were D'Amico Ryans, what you would trot out there as the first set of tackles in week one against the Rams?
With Cam Robinson, I just don't know.
The Robinson injury is a huge fly in the ointment. I get that. Yeah.
And Ed Ingram played well at right guard.
He did.
Juice Scruggs did some good things at left guard. So this all affects, you know, how you're going to play the offensive tackles, obviously, because of Titus Howard. So Ed Ingram played well at right guard. It's against backups. He's been a starter before. Maybe in this scheme, it's just the right fit for him. If they like Ed Ingram, then I like moving Titus Howard out and keeping him out there at right tackles, because Blake Fisher is not the guy.
Right.
If they don't feel comfortable with any of the guys who are competing at right guard right now, then I think you got to put Titus Howard at right guard and then Urcery at right tackle and Cam Robinson at left tackle.
Yeah.
So it's almost just who do you like at right guard, and do you feel comfortable with him that you can keep Titus Howard out at right tackle?
Yeah, well, and now Juice Scruggs has found his way back into the mix. Now, granted, he was at left guard because they gave Lakin Tomlinson. They gave two offensive line vets the night off on Saturday, Titus Howard and Lakin Tomlinson. Juice Scruggs obviously fits into this puzzle better for his sake than he did 2 weeks ago when he was running with the threes.
Scruggs did some good things against defensive linemen. He was not good when he got up to the second level. He really had a hard time staying attached to blocks, and that's a big question for me. Blake Fisher had the worst outing of all those guys that started the game. Juice Scruggs did some good things, but I still don't feel measurably better about him as a guard than I did at the end of last year.
What about Andrews, real quick, before we go to break here?
Andrews I thought was fine, and I don't know if he did anything to, you know, win the competition or anything. But for what they want to do in terms of just being physical at the point of attack, I think he's still ahead of Jarrett Patterson. Mm-hmm. I think both those guys have some big question marks when it comes to pass protection. But Andrews is just a stouter, more physical dude. I've told you, when I look at if I were a nose tackle just playing against the run, and I had to choose, hey, which guy do you think you're going to have a better game against? I think I'd have a better game against Jarrett Patterson right now than Jake Andrews.
That makes sense. All right, off and running on a Monday, Reaction Monday. It's a Reaction Monday. We had Texans football on Saturday. Hey, we had Astros baseball over the weekend, too. I would say a good weekend for the Astros. Tonight is going to be electric. Tonight's going to be one of the more electric regular season games, especially in the month of August, that we've had in the last several years. Homecomings galore and a return to the mound for what's been a pretty successful rehab from a Tommy John surgery. Big night out at the yard. We'll recap the weekend, the good news and the bad news for the Houston Astros. And we'll do that coming up next.
Possibility means you have a chance. passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
All right, Astros are in a dogfight now in the division. We'll talk about that in just a second as we welcome you back in on a Monday here on Sports Radio 610. Sean Pendergast and Seth Payne. The Astros are one up in the loss column, a half game up in the standing. So as of right now, it's a dogfight. The good news, it's the Mariners they're dogfighting with. The Mariners will find a way to mess it up, I'm pretty sure. But Seth, I loved yesterday's win. We'll get to the good news and the bad news as to where the Astros are right now. And tonight is going to be incredible. Out at the ballpark with everything going, with all the returns, like three huge returns tonight at the ballpark. I loved that game yesterday because the Yankees got a taste of sort of everything that the Astros have kind of been about this year, which was we got home runs from Correa and Altuve. So they got treated, you know, they got old school Wade by the Astros. You know, they're used to that, Correa and Altuve doing those things. You had a huge clutch hit from Cam Smith, who the Yankees have had yet to deal with until this weekend. But his hit that he got with the bases loaded against an elite-level pitcher in Max Fried in the fourth inning, Astros up 2-0, and he was down 0-2 quick in that at-bat, worked it back to 3-2, had a really, really gutsy take on 2-2. I mean, gutsy as hell. Got it to 3-2 and then laced one down the line for a two-run double. I thought that was the biggest hit of the game because that gave Jason Alexander, who again – is also part of this story the Yankees got a dose of, which is, yeah, the Astros are taking these nobodies and turning them into serviceable, in the case of Jason Alexander, the last two starts, very good major league pitchers. He had a no-hitter through three or four innings yesterday.
So I think it was through six it ended up being.
They got a hit against, it was through five. That's right. They got a hit in the sixth. That's right, because I was half paying attention because I was doing some Texan stuff, and I'm going, when they got the first hit in the sixth inning, the Yankees, and that's the first hit for the Yankees, I'm like, will you guys please mention the no-hitter at least? So I would pay closer attention to the game if I knew there was a no-hitter. I was kind of half-watching the game. But between yesterday, between the the home run and the way Correa has been since they acquired him, we'll talk about that. He'll get acknowledged for that at 720. But the home runs from Altuve and Correa, the big hit from Cam Smith, the start from Jason Alexander, and the fact that they did it against one of the Yankee aces in Max Fried, it was just a ball of joy yesterday.
I would say the walk, the game tying walk by Christian Walker as well. Like there was
two nights. You're talking about
that was two days ago.
That was Saturday.
Yep. Go ahead.
That was Saturday.
Everything's all jumbled up in my brain. I'll sort it out by the time the show.
It's no worries. Yeah, but I'm just strictly yesterday. I just like the series of things that led to a 7-1 win to me. I'm like, these are the. If a Yankee fan were to ask me, how are the Astros in this spot right now? You know, how are they a half game up when they've had all these injuries? How are they in first place in the division? I almost feel like that game yesterday, I just hand them a checklist of all the things that went on yesterday. Like, here's why. All these things right here, you know? So it was good, man. It was a good weekend. 2 out of 3 from the Yankees. Me like.
It was the Altuve. Yankees fans are convinced that Altuve is plays out of his brain when he plays against them. The funny thing is that he's about his performance against the Yankees have been pretty much his average performance across his entire career.
Yeah.
The difference is the home runs, I think.
Yeah.
He's got the most home runs against the Yankees of any non-divisional opponent.
Yeah.
And the fact that so many of them have come in big-time games. Or the when I said this, I said I tweeted this yesterday, I can't get mad at the Yankees because they've bent over backwards to send Altuve to the Hall of Fame.
They have. They've done their part, yes.
It's overall, sure, he's been about his normal self versus the Yankees. But whenever you're playing the Yankees, it's a higher profile game, which helps in the Hall of Fame emotional bank of anybody who might be voting. They just remember those moments. And two, it's just the way in which he does it. He just hits home runs versus the Yankees.
He's hit 15. Does it not feel like more than 15 to you? I mean, he's been in the league. He's been in baseball for 15 years now.
I think so, just because it's been poignant. They've been poignant moments that it feels like more.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and you're right, because they're either in big spots or, in the case of this weekend, they're in early at-bats. You know, his first at-bat, and it gives them twice. In the two wins, he hit home runs in the first inning of these games. So that was cool to see. Boy, tonight is going to be something else, huh? What of the three returns to Daikin Park, power rank them, Seth. Alex Bregman's return to Daikin Park for the first time since, you know, leaving the Astros in free agency. Carlos Correa's homecoming return to Daikin Park. Or the one that honestly excites me the most, because it matters for baseball purposes the most, is Christian Javier's return to the mound tonight from Tommy John surgery.
Oh, I think the Correa is the one that probably excites me the most, just from an emotional standpoint. It helps that he's been so good since he came back.
1,100 and OPS.
What's his OPS?
It's nearly 1,100. Yeah,
that's pretty good, Sean.
That's good. Last I checked, that's a
and that
good
was after a little bit of a slow start too.
Yes.
So you factor that into it, and he's been even better since after that first.
That's 6 straight multi-hit games. I mean, he has been elite since he got back here.
I think Correa is going to be the fun one. Bregman, it'll be kind of cool, but also just given how the last series went versus the Red Sox, I don't need to see any reminders of how awesome Bregman is as a baseball player.
I agree with that. What about Javier? You excited?
Javier, I'm just more nervous than anything.
Okay.
He hasn't. Look, you don't read too much into rehab starts, but his invisible ball doesn't look to be at peak effectiveness right now. I know his velocity has been there since, but that's his velocity has never really been the thing.
No.
It's that he's got a 94 mile per hour fastball that looks to the batter like it's a 98 or 99 mile per hour fastball because of the spin rate. And he hasn't been making them miss his fastball as much as he does when he's at his peak.
His velocity has never been the thing in terms of he's a guy who relies on 98 mile an hour heat like some guys do. But the last 2 years, as it turns out, there was something going on with his arm. That 94 that you're talking about turned into 92 and 91.
Yeah.
He needs to be at a certain velocity, but you're absolutely right. He's not a guy that blows you away. He's a guy that does it with some witchcraft. I'm excited about that. Look, knock on wood, like his is the only rehab that has gone, like if you hand somebody a textbook for here's what you want Tommy John rehab to look like, he got the surgery late May in 2024, and here he is in, you know, still relatively early August, a year late. I mean, this is that's less than 15 months
Let me ask you, I'm going to have you power rank these three guys okay. in a matter of how tight your how much your sphincter is tightened.
Okay.
So on the sphincter tightening meter,
yeah.
You've got three guys that just jump into my brain. Yeah. Javier, just because he's coming back, et cetera, et cetera. He has had a smooth rehab by Astros standards, especially.
Yes.
And it's been, what, 15 months or so since his injury?
Yeah, May 24th, 2024 was when he got the surgery. Yep.
Okay, so 14, 15 months since his surgery, and it's been relatively smooth. So I like that. But you got Javier.
Okay.
You got Arrigetti.
Yep.
Had some bad luck, but also, you know, wasn't locating his pitches perfectly.
And going back and looking at the box score the next day and just listening and having watched the game, you know, like all those things, it was the strangest game. Like, it was 3 2/3 innings. He did give up a home run, so that's not good. 11 hits where half of them are infield hits is a weird thing. So, okay, so Arrigetti, who's the third one?
Fromber.
Okay, now that's a good one. Now they lose on Saturday. Fromber, they've lost three straight Fromber starts now. After winning 13 in a row. Okay, power rank my sphincter tightening on all these. I'm going to put Javier at number one just because we have no idea what it's going to so Arrigetti, I think, is going to be fine. His injury was a broken hand. I don't think that's something that's going to crop up again. Like, I think he's physically, he just needs to pitch in major league games. I think he's going to be okay. Javier's number one because of the unknown. Arrigetti's number two just because he ain't Fromber. Framber's going to be fine. They've lost three straight starts of his. The first one, he pitched amazing. They just couldn't hit. And so he had that one bad inning against the Red Sox that was super weird. But other than that one bad, you know, he's balking. They had all these errors and mental errors. It was one bad inning. The most recent one, he was not good on Saturday. Like, he was just flat out not good on Saturday.
His curveball was the one that his curveball had been until 3 games ago. It was actually going into that game. It was the best of his career in terms of his whiff rate on curveballs. And then he couldn't make people miss his curveball on Saturday. So it's more of a, even though he hasn't been himself for a few games, it's just that I trust that he's going to figure that out, whatever's causing that.
Fromber, I'll tell you what, Seth, with Fromber, I'll tell you what I gain an appreciation of is how amazing he was in 2022 when he had the 25 straight quality starts.
Yeah.
Like, you look now, and Fromber is still a quality start machine. He leads the league in quality starts. I think he's had 16 of them. But he's, since that year in 2022 where he was good pretty much every start, he's had these fits and starts in the regular season in 23 and 24, and he's always eventually figured it out. That's why he's at the bottom of my power rankings.
You don't worry that it's a fatigue issue.
No.
It were a younger pitcher or somebody else, I might worry, you're getting down towards the end of the season. So I don't worry about it being fatigue.
No.
I do worry a little bit, and this was something that remember when they instituted the pitch clock? Fromber was one of the guys we were most nervous about because he needed time to collect himself.
Yeah.
And part of him becoming a steady pitcher had been taking the little stroll around the back of the mound and everything.
Yep.
So we wondered how that was going to affect him. He does currently lead the league in pitch clock violations.
Yeah, he took the lead on Saturday. He had a big one on Saturday to Judge.
Oh, your full his full count, right? Yeah.
Yes, and he walked in with it.
So,
yeah.
That's the part that I worry. I hope he's still with the same sports psychologist and everything, and all that can maybe work out. It's weird. It's scary, but I also know that he can overcome some of these mental hurdles at times. It's just a matter of addressing it. So I trust that he'll be all right. Yeah, he'd be third on my sphinctometer.
Yeah, yeah. For me to put him worry about Fromber ahead of concern over a Tommy John return and Spencer Arrigetti would be disrespectful to Fromber. So I like power ranking that, though, because you're right. I mean, there are these issues right now. And, you know, I mean, like, even Hunter. You know, Hunter he's been better than he was those couple of bad starts he had, but he still only went 5 1/3 on Friday, you know?
Well, and I've been the one all season long saying, nah, pitching, don't worry about it. Your trade deadline moves are these guys coming back from the IL.
Here we are.
And then Arrigetti, come on, Arrigetti. I've kind of built a platform here. Now, Javier has had a smooth recovery. He, as opposed to, say, Luis Garcia hasn't pitched a baseball in a game that matters in a long time.
No, but he was awesome this weekend in his rehab start. He four shutout innings with 7 Ks in his rehab start.
So I guess those three guys, Javier, Arrigetti, and Garcia, are the guys that I have the most personal reputation to gain or lose just based on me trying to act like it was no big deal that you didn't get a pitcher at the trade deadline.
Is Lance just off the grid now? Is he like he had a blister? He should be back pretty soon, right?
Lance is. We talked about this last week about Lance is becoming one of those guys that just has weird injuries all the time, and sometimes it's major, and then there's a hiccup in the recovery.
He's the Terrence Jones of the Astros.
I took a Google stroll through his injury history, and I'd completely forgotten the time he got injured by a champagne cork. That was for weird injuries, we had the time he got hit by a champagne cork in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And then there was also, obviously, it wasn't like out at dinner on a Friday night. We were at Nobu in LA.
Yeah.
And the other was the freak weight room accident where he tripped over or dropped what was the weight room? Drop a weight on his foot?
No, because it wasn't a blunt force thing. It's like he pulled a muscle above his toe or something.
Tripped
like
over something.
Yeah. You're right. He is the weird injury guy. So but Javier tonight and and I think we get a Hunter Brown sighting in this series. It's Hunter and Spencer Arrigetti. I'm not sure in which order. I think it's Arrigetti, then Hunter in this series. So three against the Red Sox. And they're all big games now. You got a half game lead in the division. How nervous are you right now about the Mariners nipping at their heels, Seth?
Oh, it's the Mariners. That's right. Yeah. I try not to think about the fact that the Mariners just continually blow it as the season winds down. Because every team is different every year.
Sure.
I'm on a 5 out of 10 right now. I don't feel awesome about the Astros right this moment with all of the question marks that we just addressed.
Yep.
I'm actually honestly, when I saw that they have 47 games remaining, which just crept up on me quick, that, wow, this thing is coming down to the wire. 47 baseball games is not a lot of baseball games.
Nope.
And I'm embracing it.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's nervousness or excitement, but I like that there's a little bit of a crunch in the division right now.
Yep. All right, we have some injury updates for the Astros. We'll get to those in headlines. We'll circle back to the Texans as well. Biggest takeaway from Saturday night's game against the Minnesota Vikings. We got a little Rockets news as well for the schedule that we'll get to, and some NFL. We got a lot to get to, man. And we're here till it's Monday, so we're here till 8 a.m. Texans All Access, or Texans Training Camp Live, I should say. I don't know if it's All Access or Training Camp Live. You're going to get Mark Vandermeer and John Harris from 8 to 10 on Mondays, and then off to the races. In the loop after that, the drive in Area 45 here on Sports Radio 610. Headlines are next. Stay there. This is Payne and Pendergast.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines, presented by Men's Tea Clinic.
All right, today's headlines. Let's start with the Texans on Saturday. They lose to the Vikings 20-10, but there were some good things that happened in the game. I will gladly trade a loss in a preseason game for how the offense looked in the first quarter of that game. D'Amico Ryan said overall, over the past week or so, we know the Texans haven't been in Houston. They're back on the practice field today in the afternoon at 2 o'clock. D'Amico Ryan said he is proud of how his guys traveled as a team and became better as a team with their trip to West Virginia last week.
Yeah, I'm really proud of our guys, like being on the road for a week, really proud how everyone handled it. Thankful to our staff for making this such a seamless transition. Like, we have a ton of great people who work for us out, help the players be able to perform at their best. Thought we did a nice job this week of bonding, being at the Greenbrier. And we grew closer as a unit. We got better as a football team. Now this next week, I'm looking for us to take that next step. Like, can we continue to improve, continue to grow? We'll have Carolina coming in. We'll have a joint practice next week. So excited, again, to go against someone else in practice and see how that week turns out.
All right, so that was D'Amico on kind of the week as a whole, which included the Minnesota game. To me, Seth, the biggest takeaway from this game, the offensive drive that really mattered for this team. And again, even that drive had a lot of guys who aren't going to factor into the season. But I think just in the way that the operation looked, and there were a few guys out there that are going to factor into this season, at least early on, looked really good. 10-play, 74-yard drive for a touchdown.
Yeah, the offensive line in particular, I think, just looked cleaner across the board. Ariante Ursary was a big headline item there. He's your second-round pick. You traded up to get him. He looks the part. He's 6'6", 335 pounds, but he uses that length and size really well. And it was both as a pass protector, which I've seen. You know, he's struggled at times versus two really good defensive ends in practice, but he's also had some good reps against Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson. And in the game the other night, I thought the biggest thing for the offensive line was they sorted things out in the run game really well. They had a good feel for what their assignments were, how to react and respond to blitzes and slanting defensive linemen. It just looked cleaner across the board. Blake Fisher is at the other end of the spectrum and on the other side of the line at right tackle. He had a rough go of it, and he stayed in after a lot. I mean, Ariante Ursary, the rookie, played 10 snaps, and then he was done. They kept Blake Fisher in there. And
he was in late in the third quarter, which is not good news if you're somebody who's looking to crack the one deep on a team. You know?
And two guys on defense. E.J. Speed caught a lot of people's attention. Yeah. He made a couple of big-time third down plays in a row, had another, it made at least three notable plays in that game.
Yeah.
The other guy that I was intrigued by was Darrell Taylor, who, like EJ Speed, is on a 1 year, $4 to $5 million contract where it's kind of a prove it deal. I think EJ Speed showed up in the run game. Darrell Taylor played a lot better than I think. That's been one of his downsides. He's a smaller guy, and he hasn't always been very good against the run. He did some really nice things against the run, even that didn't necessarily result in tackles, but I was watching him specifically for that. So I think the playing in this defense with this coaching staff might pay dividends for the team, obviously, but then he's on a prove-it deal. Maybe he's another one of these guys that gets a deal elsewhere, gets extended.
Yeah, we'll get to some of the individual winners and losers at the top of the hour from that game. We'll acknowledge people at 720 across all sports platforms. Here's one real quick from D'Amico Ryan. Seth mentions the offensive line. Here's D'Amico on the offensive line.
And from my point of view, our O-line did a really nice job of controlling the line of scrimmage, which when we did run the football, there was no one in the backfield. There was no penetration, and it all starts up front. So I feel like those guys did a really nice job of setting the tone, and that's what we want to see from the offensive line. You come out, be physical, set the tone for the offense, and I thought that first group did a nice job of that.
And that Vikings defense led by Brian Flores, they do some really funky things in the regular season. There wasn't as much funkiness out of them, but they did disguise. They did blitz. And some of the blitzes were kind of, there were a couple plays where I didn't even realize it was a blitz while I was watching on TV when I went back and watched. Because I've been trained that if there's any kind of a blitz at all, somebody's going to screw it up on the Texans offensive line. And they didn't. By and large, there were individual breakdowns here and there, but as a group, I think they did a pretty good job. They did a much better job than last year during the preseason.
Yep. No question.
I'm not trying to predict what kind of an offensive line they'll be or anything right this moment. But compared to last year's preseason, they just did a much better job of handling any kind of misdirection or disguises. The running backs in pass protection were really good. And that's a big deal. Go back to the fourth quarter of the Kansas City game, and the running backs were not spectacular in pass protection. So when I see guys like Jawar Jordan chopping dudes
and
down.
And Woody Marks, two young players, were really good in pass pro in that game on Saturday.
I got excited about that.
Me too. Same thing. I'm going, holy cow, look at that blitz pickup. That is... That looked really, really good. It was funny. We're talking about the O-line. We'll get to the Astros here, I promise. I was on Channel 2 last night with Randy McAvoy and Aaron Wilson, and we did a stock up, stock down segment by position, and one of the positions we did was offensive line. And I'm like, well, it's stock up because the stock was a penny stock coming into the season. Yeah, I'm still super concerned about it, but it is definitely stock up compared to last year.
I saw somebody last night tried to get a bunch of people with a gotcha take because there were a lot of tweets from a week ago about how poorly the offensive line was playing in a particular practice or something. And then they pointed to me saying something about the Texans offensive line after the preseason game. No, there's no gotcha there. Like saying, because I said something positive about the offense.
Right.
There's no gotcha. The offense was rough the first couple weeks. They were like, when something is going poorly and then later they show improvement, it doesn't all of a sudden negate any of the poor play from earlier in the preseason.
Right.
The offensive line, I think, has made some actual improvements over the course of 3 weeks.
Yep. Astros take 2 out of 3 from the Yankees over the weekend, including a 7-1 win yesterday. Jason Alexander, probably the biggest story in that game, threw six shutout innings. He was excellent in that game. He's had two really good starts back-to-back now. All of a sudden now, Christian Javier returns tonight against the Red Sox at homecoming night. Carlos Correa, first game back. Alex Bregman, his first game back in an opposing uniform. The Astros are a half game up on Seattle, so we're in the middle of a dogfight right now in the AL West. This is fun, man. I mean, these, you know, what did you say, 47 games left, Seth? Is that what you said in the last segment?
Thereabouts,
yeah,
yes.
Somewhere about around there. I mean, yeah, this is – and the Astros have been here the last couple of years. This is what the division has been. It's not been the – these are not your 2021 and 22 Astros, or certainly not the 2019 Astros, that are just running away and hiding with the division. This is what it's going to be like for the next few years. You're going to be in it. But so are other teams going to be in it.
I mean, there's so many things. There's some things you can 100% rely on, and it's the defense in general has been very good. The pitching, we knew it. You know, when they were on that hellacious tear, even with despite the injuries, the pitching wasn't going to be sustainable long term. You knew at some point you're going to have to rely on these guys coming back from injury. And it's, for me, so much of how far they can go is going to be Arrigetti, Javier, Luis Garcia, and I don't know what to do with Brian King. I don't know.
He was good last night. Yesterday, yeah, he came and struck out the side in the ninth inning.
I know. We'll see.
Don't make me stick up for Brian King because I didn't realize you.
He's good last night. Oh, yeah. Great. Do pitchers only pitch once a year?
No, I didn't realize that
was a new development.
He's been bad of late. I get that.
If you have a starting pitcher pitch 7 innings in a game, is it okay for him to have 6 awful innings and 1 good one?
Yeah.
No, I don't think you don't go back and say, one inning, he was really good.
Ask Fromber. He did that against the Red Sox. He had one bad inning. All right, last thing, Rockets. They will be playing on Christmas Day for the first time since 2019. This is what happens when you become relevant again. They're going to be playing at the Lakers on Christmas Day. So a little Luka and LeBron against KD and the merry band of support of Durantettes on the Rockets. They'll be 1 of 5 games being played on Christmas Day. So if you're looking for measures of relevance and how the league feels about the Rockets as a marquee team, right there smack dab in the middle of the Christmas Day lineup They'll be competing with this NFL schedule because we know the NFL is now trying to usurp Christmas from the NBA. Lions at Vikings, really good game. Those two teams won 29 games combined last year in the regular season. Cowboys at Commanders. Commanders are good. Cowboys are, I guess, box office for whatever reason. And then Broncos at Chiefs, who I think are probably, you know, the Chargers are in there too, but maybe the two best teams in the AFC West. So it's a pretty stout NFL schedule for a Christmas day. So a lot of sports, man. It's going to be a fun day on Christmas Day. Watch
Ryan that. King in his last six innings is a 7.5 ERA.
Yeah, I know he sucks.
No, he doesn't suck, though. No, because he was very good. I used to be much higher on the Brian King O-meter than you were. Yeah. My confidence has been shaken with some of these home runs.
Well, he's giving up home runs. That's the problem. Yeah. It's all these bombs he's given up in big spots. Yeah, he lost the game for him on Saturday. So there you go. Those are your headlines. We didn't get to the NFL headlines. We'll try to mix those in the 7 o'clock hour. Shedeur Sanders was a big story this weekend, had a real nice start. Travis Hunter got his first action. So maybe we'll take a look at the two former Colorado Buffaloes at some point in the 7 o'clock hour. Three winners, three losers from the Saturday game against the Minnesota Vikings. Individual, and a couple of these names we've mentioned already, but it's worth mentioning them again. And we'll acknowledge a lot of Astros in Acknowledge Me. A little bit of NFL and some little pop culture as well. We'll get to that in the 7 o'clock hour. Stay there.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.